Wow, this is still really loud. Can we turn that down a little bit?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's still
good. Test. Hello. Perfect. Thank you. Okay. So we had our lock-in. Thank you for everyone who came out. It was really fun. I'm glad we had that time and we could play all the games and just really spend time with one another. I really enjoyed that. But now we have to be awake. We have to feel God's spirit. We're here today to learn about him. Are we not? Amen? All right. Good deal. Will you bow your heads with me? Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, that you would give us hope and strength in Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that you have called us to this higher calling, Lord, that we are to walk in a worthy manner of that calling, Lord. And the things that we know that have been given to us through Jesus Christ, may we not take it for granted, Lord. Help us today to live these things out, Lord. Father, we know that as all the other studies in the past talked about the physical things, Lord, on our relationships and how we ought to act in response to your grace that was given to us through Christ Jesus. And Lord, as we go through this shift, Father, help us to understand what it means to do these things in the spiritual realm. God, protect us as we continue to seek you, as we continue to pray for your wisdom and your guidance, Lord. Allow your spirit to cover us, Lord, that we may be shielded from this world and from media and from everything else that goes on in our lives, God. Let us be only focused on you, that our hearts may be turning to you and that we may surrender all the things in our lives towards you, Father. We thank you for your grace and mercy, for it is sufficient. It covers every aspect of our lives. We love you, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If we could the Bible verse up. Thank you very much. So today's lesson, oh my goodness, we're almost there. Last two sermons in Ephesians. It's bittersweet. I'm really excited that we get to do different things. But at the same time, I look back at Ephesians and just, wow, how much stuff did we go through? How much things that did we learn through? And now we're here. We're in these last two stages and Paul is literally giving his final charge, and he literally says, finally, before he starts this passage or this narrative, and he's going to tell us some things that are different, that things that we're not normally used to, because he's going to talk about spiritual things. I know it's kind of hard to talk about things that we can't physically see, but I'm going to take my time in trying to illustrate these things, what it looks like, especially when we're talking about the full armor of God. There's no other way, my brothers and sisters, no other way to fight the devil, no other way to survive this life in this world. We go through, all these Friday lessons on media. Man, I want to thank, Uncle Glenn's not here, but I want to thank him. It was really eye-opening, you know, going through all these things and going through the survey, the real-time surveys that we're going through. It was really amazing. But one thing that really gets my heart or gets me a little concerned is this idea of somehow we have to earn our salvation or earn our grace. Somehow I'm not good enough to be called myself a Christian. Somehow I'm not worthy or I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. How many of you guys feel like God challenges me to do better things, but because of that challenge, I feel like I'm not with God? Maybe, maybe not. I know when I was growing up, I always thought of God as, man, he always tells me what I can or cannot do. Right? He tells me all these rules. But what God does is so much more. What God does is talk about relationship with him, about growing in Christ Jesus, to have a foundation of life that will surpass all things. And it starts with finally here. So let's go back and forth. I'll read the first verse, and then let's go on a... as I'll speak and you respond, I will go back to the very end, and at verse 20, we'll all read together the last verse. And the Bible says, finally, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Amen. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And pray in the Spirit in all occasion, in all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen. And verse 20, let's all read together. For which I am an ambassador in chains, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Welcome, everybody. So like I was saying, these are the last two sermons. I want to let you know, we're going to take a quick break from Ephesians. I know next week I actually want to, because of the you know, next week being America's birthday and all these freedoms and all this. So I want to talk about freedom in Christ next week. So we're actually going to table off Ephesians in 2 weeks, okay? But I feel like God needs to, or God has spoken to me, not only through the survey and all these things, but I need to help. I feel like I need to teach you guys a little bit more about that. But that being said, this is our lesson today. We're on the last two lessons, and this is what it's all about. You know, the first part of Ephesians, like I said, was all about what Christ has done. And now we're talking about what, in response, for, chapters 4 through 6 is all about our response to what God has done for us. And how to live consistently with this new identity in Christ. But today is a major shift. Like I said, everything else was about the physical realm, right? He talks about, because Christ has done these things to you, you ought to act a certain way. And whether it's with our parents, our relationship with our parents, whether it's relationship with our co-workers, right? It's all about the physical acts or the physical realm, things you can touch, the things you can see, the things you can do, right? But what Paul is doing here is talking about something different. And in fact, he changes the paradigm quickly because whatever we go against, is it not what's in front of our face? Like, isn't our enemy is the thing that's right in front of us, right? It's the most tangible thing. But Paul is talking about something really different here. Things that you can't necessarily see, things you can't necessarily know because it's, you know, it's the unknown. And so Paul is making all of these things come to light, right? And all of this was talking about how our identity changes, right, as we believe in Jesus Christ. And as our identity changes, we become more like Christ and less like the world. And now he talks about a bigger conflict that comes into our lives, a conflict with the evil one himself. How many of you guys believe in the devil? Raise your hand. Amen. I hope you guys all do. You know, we're all Asians. We know about yin and yang, right? The duality of life, the other side of the coin, if you will. If there is light, then there has to be darkness. You cannot define one without the other. Simply put, right? How do you know what is light? Well, you got to know what is dark. How do you know what is dark? Well, you see what is light, right? And so, by definition, you need to know these things. And Paul is bringing these things to light. And he tells us this. He tells us to be strong, right? How many of you guys think you guys are strong right now? Whether physically, mentally, emotionally, right? Because I look at some of you guys, and I always talk to Alan like this. I'm going to use your name, Alan. I say, you're a big body, dude. He's big and strong. And every time I look at him, I get jealous because his chest is like this. I'm like, man, you're strong, dude. Right? And then I look at some of you guys are intellectually awesome, right? If I did half the things you guys did in high school, you know how good, I don't know, maybe God could use me in a much more profound way. But all of you guys have this innate ability to do well in school, right? You study hard, you do all of these things. And a lot of times we tend to use our strength, right? So our wisdom is going to carry us to the next stage in life. And that's how we tend to live, right? Some of us are emotional rocks, right? Some of us can be really stoic. I'm not one of these people, unfortunately. I'm sorry about last week. I cried like about 10 times while I was preaching. I'm so sorry. But I was thinking about some really tough things. Like when I told you about my friend Jun Lee, like, I he's 28 years old. I went to seminary with him. And I saw God move powerfully to him and do all these incredible things. And for God to have say, you know, I'm going to take you home sooner, than it breaks my heart. Because he was truly my brother. He survived by two little daughters, 4 and 7. Right? He has a widowed wife now. And all I can think about, and no matter how sad I feel his family, the one thing that resounds in my mind is what God is saying to him in heaven right now. My good and faithful servant. And I told you that's how we should all live. And like I said, I'm not emotionally strong. And in fact, if you ask my children who's the emotional strong one, they're always going to say mommy, because daddy always cries. Always. I don't know why. So some of us, we find our strengths in the different things that we are. We can be emotionally strong, physically strong. But what Paul is talking about is something else. Something that we all tend to lack or tend to forget. That we have a bank account. And this bank account is not about money or physical strength, but this is all about our spirituality in Christ Jesus. And we all can tap into this at any given time. And how? We pray. And we're going to go through all these steps at the end. But this is what we're talking about today. He's talking about the strength that we get. The strength that we get from all the powers. The strength that we get from all the things that the world can throw at us. Right? Because it's hard. We talked about it. Your skits, Group 3 skit last night or yesterday. Well, they did a skit about, was it the cheating? Yeah. So, real simple thing. Like, we never think about these things. Like, oh, I'm just getting answers, I did this too. I remember as a sophomore, trigonometry class, right? Trig analytic geometry. There was 3 periods, and mine was always the last. And I would always go to Reed Lee Yogi, who was my best friend, or one of my good friends. Hey, Reed, what'd you guys get on the test? Or what was on the test in the prior class? And he wouldn't give me specific answers, but he said, study this, study this, study this. And now that I think about it, after seeing, I cheated. That was cheating. I failed. Right? But all of these things, right? We think of all these things as we dismiss them. But this is what we're talking about. The things that are unseen. The things that influences our minds. The things that makes us act a certain way without knowing why we're doing it. Because every time I ask my son when he's doing something bad, why are you doing that? I don't know. So there's some kind of influence there, regardless whether we know it or not. There's some kind of influence that says, no, don't follow God. There's some kind of influence that says, no, you know what? You don't have to listen to him. You can do your own thing. And it happens over and over again. And we think to ourselves, why is this? Am I not a good enough Christian? Am I this? Am I that? And we say all these things. So this is why Paul is addressing all of this stuff right now. Okay, he's talking to the Ephesian church. He's speaking as a pastor to them. He just gave them all these great things. This is what Jesus Christ has done. You are free from your slavery to sin. You are now in Christ Jesus. You're a born again Christian. And you have all these new things that's going for you. Right? Everything physical. But then when reality hits, like, man, I'm still influenced by many other things in my life. Right? We talk about it in media, right? Our identity. Why do I feel a certain way? Why do I have to look a certain way, right? Instead of understanding what God has called us, right? So we're going to go through this because that's what it is. It's easy. It's easy to forget because we tend to hold on to the strengths that we have. But Paul says it this way, right? We can have all these strengths. We can have all these purposes and all these things. And we can use that against the physical world, yes. But Paul's introducing something different here. He says, our struggle isn't with the physical, right? He's talking about powers and principalities. Now, my intention is not to scare you guys, but you guys got to know the enemy is real, okay? Powers and principalities. I took a 2-semester class, and I studied in Greek, and every time a demonic thing was introduced in the Bible, we studied it, okay? I got scared. I was like, wow, this is real. This is what we're talking about. Because everything that we fight with is not necessarily against other people and other things. It's really against the devil. And why is it against the devil? Because the devil did the one thing that ruined all of God's plans, if you will. Okay? Maybe not ruined, because Jesus needed to be there, right? Because you guys got to understand, and I'm going to explain what this looks like. Ever since Adam and Eve were created, right? And we're talking about original sin here. Ever since Adam and Eve was created and the original sin happened, our relationship with God was broken. And you got to understand how profound that is. Because prior to sin, we had this perfect relationship with God. We were walking hand in hand with God. How many of you guys sometimes feel like, oh, God, I'm so far away from you? Oh, and then I would ask, you know, I'm not saying you guys, but former sinners, I would always ask them, what are you guys doing that's causing your relationship to feel farther and farther away from God? Because God never left. If you're putting a wedge, if there's a wedge between you and God, you're putting something there, right? And the more and more we do it, because the enemy is so good at covering things up. Oh, that's not a sin. Oh, no, no, you can feel like that about church. Oh, no, 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 no. You know what? The body of the fellowship in the body, that's not important. And slowly by slowly, all the things that God has given us to strengthen us, to make us whole, he takes away from us. And that's why he stays here. And that's why Paul is saying, you guys got to understand that every battle we fight, everything that we do is real. And this is not just some kind of thing that we can pass along like as unimportant. We are at war, okay? We Christians are at war every day. And we are at war with the one who calls us to fall. Like I said, from the very beginning, God created us to have this perfect relationship with him. You look at the Trinity of God, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three are separate. All three are in perfect unison. All three are in perfect relationship always. That was our intention with God. Right? But as soon as sin came in, that relationship was broken. And ever since that moment in time, right, man has been looking for a way to, because we have this God image in us, right, we're image bearers of God, we want to commune with God the same way as the Trinity does. And let me explain to you this way, right? How many of you guys ever feel like, man, I feel so far away from God? And the more and more we don't feel that, the more and more we take away ourselves from God. And the longer we go away, right, the more and more we kind of have this longing like, man, I need to get back into the church. Or man, I need to do this. Or man, I need to do that. It's the same when we do our devotionals. Why do we do devotionals for? Is it because your pastors and your coworkers and all the teachers say, do your devotionals? No, there's something inside of us that says, I want to know you, God. Either tell me something about me or tell me something about you so I can understand you better. This is a longing that should be in every Christian's heart, right? I want to know God even a greater way. But see, we're lucky. Because even though we have all these enemies, even though we have all these things going against us, even though the world says you're not worthy, God says something else. We Christians have this unique ability to look at the world in a perspective that's from the end, right? You guys ever read a book? Oh, good story, good story. How many of you guys ever cheated and read just the end? That's how we live our lives as Christians. We already know what the ending is. The victory has already been won, is what Scripture tells us. And because of this, the blood of Christ guarantees deliverance for everyone. No matter where you are, no matter what you did, no matter how bad you think you are. Let me tell you this, right? When Jesus was on the cross, there was two other thieves with them who were murderers and all these things. And just by the simple fact of worshiping Jesus, he says, you know, one guy is mocking Jesus and the other guy goes, shut up. You know, we did these bad things. Jesus never did one thing bad. He doesn't deserve any of this. What did Jesus say to him? Right? You think you did anything worse than that guy that was hanging on the crucifix? He said, you will be remembered with me in heaven. Don't ever think God is not for you. Don't ever think God is not working on your behalf. He did it once and for all in Jesus Christ. And that's the perspective we can live our lives from. And that's why ever since that moment, we know how beautiful, how good that thing is. And ever since sin broke into our life, every one of us should be yearning for that. Those who are not Christians, you know what they do? They fill their lives with stuff. I want to buy this. I want to buy that. I want to play this game. I want to do this. And you know what happens when you fill your life with stuff? It gets boring. You know, the most affluent people are the most depressed people. Did you guys know that? Right? When we go to Mexico, I never seen one depressed person. And they live really hard lives. But when they were worshiping God, like I said, spontaneous dance, they were doing all these, they're clapping their hands. Not a single depressed person there. But we live in a world of affluence where we have everything, but we, because we're filling our lives with stuff instead of Jesus. Right? I'm going to get into that a little bit, but I need to move on. Because all of this is all about spiritual battle. This is all about spiritual battle. We have already won it. When Jesus bought you with his blood, he ensured you that none of these things will be lost in you. In fact, he says, these are the things that are going to give you strength. These are the things that is going to make you work. So what am I going to talk about today? Well, you're going to know why God wants you to find strength in him. You're going to find out why the reason why God wants you to be strong on him is so that the only way you can survive this world is by putting on the full armor of God. And lastly, it's going to be that it is only through prayer that we can conquer all these things. Okay? So let me start off. So God wants you to know. God wants you to be strong. God wants you to be knowing that his spiritual strength is the one and only thing can get you through spiritual darkness. Right? Spiritual darkness. What does that look like? I'll tell you this. Anything that takes you or takes your focus away from God. Anything that takes you or takes your focus away from God. Because what are we talking about, right? That perfect harmonious relationship between you, God, the Spirit of God, and Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All these three things are something that we want to be a part of, right? But he says, this is what it is because of the spiritual battle. Verse 12, it says, for our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark, and against the spiritual forces of the evil ones. These battles take many forms. What does that look like, right? I would say any temptation. How many guys ever was tempted? Now, don't raise your hands. How many guys ever tempted to click on a website to watch something your eyes aren't supposed to watch? Right? How many guys ever were tempted to, what was that question on, you know? It's so simple to cheat. We have all these devices, all these other things, so easy. But yet, we can do it without thinking. I did it without thinking. Yeah, I need the letter A. It's more important. How many of you guys ever lost something? And it grieves you so much that you couldn't feel like, I can't go on. Let's talk about addiction. School, alcohol, drugs, pornography. There are so many things out there. How many of you guys feel like you're inadequate? How many of you guys feel like, man, I'm just not good enough? Because all of that is a lie that the enemy uses. You guys got to remember, Jesus died for you. So you got to understand how important you are to him. Bible says, do this so that the devil may not take you away from these things, right? See, being strong in the Lord means you can be able to resist the devil. Now, I don't know about you. There are times, I'm going to be real with you, there are times where I am tempted, right? There are times where I feel like, man, it's just that easy to go on a click, click, click. That easy. And I can see a whole bunch of things that my eyes aren't supposed to see. And I can feel certain feelings inside my body, inside my mind, and it makes me feel good. But if I was to engage in those things, you know what I would feel after? Dirty and incomplete. Because those things are just temporal things. Things that we make, oh, this is what I really want in life. But God says those things mean nothing. Outside of marriage, outside of the institution of husband and wife, literally those things are garbage, right? It's just for myself. It just feels good. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about pornography. It's that easy, okay? It's that easy to change the image what God said. This is what husband and wife is supposed to be, and I introduce something else to it. Contemporize that into your own lives. If it's not pornography, what about cheating? Your grade is supposed to be on your merit and what you earn, right? How much easier is it to say, hey, dude, what was on the test on the first period? Contemporize it. Oh, man, my friend has this. Right? We don't do it so much as we're older, but when we're kids, I'm going to steal that. That's called coveting. Things that you can't have, things that you want, things that you say, this is the most important thing in my life. Contemporize that. School, money, fame, right? Good job, good family. Do any of these things supersede your relationship with God? If it does, then maybe it's not something we need to do. These are the temptations in life, and these are the spiritual forces that are working against us. See, they do these things over and over again, and we may be strong one day and say, no, I will not do it. That same sin attacks you over and over again. One day, you know what you're going to say? If you don't recharge your power in God in that bank account, you know what you're going to say? Okay. Okay. What was no, 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 resistance, 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 will turn into okay. Whatever that sin is, you'll say, I give up. I'll follow. I'll do whatever it does, what it calls me to do. But again, it leads to bad things and bad places. The only way to fight these things is to be strong in your faith, to be strong in the Lord, as Paul says. Being strong in the Lord means to resist the devil. We are weak because we have these fallen things here in our lives, right? But you guys got to understand, our enemy, not only are we weak, but our enemy is very strong. He controls legions upon legions upon legions of fallen angels. You know how scary that makes me think? Like, almost as if, like, at around every corner there's darkness. I don't know. Like, when you go on missions, I pray for spiritual sensitivity, and I physically get sick in certain parts. I can tell where God's spirit is, and I can tell where God's spirit isn't. And those places where God's spirit isn't, I feel ill, literally physically ill. I kind of talked about it when I shared. I didn't talk about the negative, just the positive. I know God's spirit is here, but I can also tell when God's spirit isn't. And I physically get ill. Those are the places, these are the places where God, or not God, the enemy has footholds. When the fall of man happened, literally, right, the devil took ownership of the world. Don't believe me? When Jesus was getting tempted, right, what did the devil say? I'll give you all the kingdoms if you just worship below me. Ever since the fall, the devil took over this world. And everything in this world fights against us. That's why Alan's group, he talked about 500 aliens. They did a skit on Saturday for their devotion. And they talked about 500 aliens. And I said, that was so interesting. Right? Because that's actually how Peter says it, that we're aliens in this world. Right? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Like, literally, we're sojourners. We're just traveling. This is just a temporary place till we go back into heaven with God, to have that perfect relationship that we're all longing for. It happens over and over again. So, we're talking about strength. I want to talk about three biblical figures in the Bible that relied on strength. How many of you guys know Solomon? Yeah, maybe. What was Solomon? What was he considered? What? The wise. He had a big brain. What else did Solomon have? Huh? Lots of money. In fact, the Bible says there was no other wealthier kingdom, right, than in the whole world from then until now than under Solomon's reign. So could you imagine literally having all the money in the world? That was Solomon. Okay? How many of you guys know David? What was his thing? How many of you guys know what was so special about David? Huh? Faith. Amen. I would say it this way, not only faith, but his devotion to God. All of Psalms, not all of them, most of the Psalms he wrote, oh God, how you protect me. Oh God, you're my rod and shield. Oh, and everything he did was devoted to God. God, you did this for me. God, you did that for me. Really good man, right? Now, third guy I want to talk about, Samson. What was the deal with Samson? Muscles. See, he was physically strong. He literally killed 1,000. Was it the jawbone of the donkey? Right? No, he said the jawbone of the donkey. Right? He killed 1,000 men. Even in his suicide death. Okay. So don't ever sin, because even when you say, God, give me strength, like literally he committed suicide. He killed everybody and himself because he walked away from God. That's a different sermon for a different time. But these three men, a man who was all the wisdom and all the money, a man who was completely devoted to God and the things God did for him, and a man who had all the physical strength in the world. They said more than 1,000 men couldn't equal his strength, Samson. All these three great men, when they relied on themselves, you know what happened? They failed. Solomon, he didn't understand what God said is, don't intermarry, right? But he did. And as he intermarried, he fell in love with all these other wives. He had lots and lots of wives. Someone said he had lots of wives. He did. And that was his downfall. God said, don't do that. He did it, right? God still honors our choices. And what happened? He lost his kingdom, right? In fact, he followed other gods, and God sent these other people to come in and conquer his land. But he was the smartest, and he had all the money in the world. Nothing can touch him. You know, we tend to think, man, if I have all the money in the world, I all my problems are solved. Throw some money at it, and it's going to be fixed. Throw some more money at it, it's going to be fixed. He fell short of God, and he lost it all. Right? David. Right? Man devoted to God. Man after God's heart. God, I love you so much. I love you so much. Someone who I would imagine who, like the Bible says, takes out all his clothes and being undignified. I love you, Lord. And what did he do? He committed adultery and he committed murder. This so-called man of God. In fact, the Bible calls him the man of God. The man who has God's heart is what the Bible calls him. And he falls short. Samson. Big, strong Samson. I can do anything. Bring on the enemy. Bring on the Philistines. Bring them on. I can destroy them. Any enemy, any giant in my face, bring them on. We tend to think when we're physically strong, we can do everything. What happened? He used Delilah. Hey, honey, what's your secret? No secret. What's your secret? Okay, my hair. Right? And he lost it. He got tortured. He got beaten. He got blinded. Over and over again, all these bad things happened. Why? Because all these supposedly great men of God used their own power. If these biblical figures who were anointed by God's Spirit, who had all these things, failed, what makes us think that we're not going to fail? Are our names in the Bible? Yes, they are. When they talk about all the saints, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're part of the sainthood, right? Well, other than that, we're not mentioned specifically in the Bible. So if these guys fail, how are we not going to? See, Satan is evil, and he has many ways of deceiving us. All these spiritual temptations that I was talking about, whether it's sexual, mental, physical, whatever, hatred, coveting, whatever these things, addiction, any one of these things can make you fall. And the devil's good at it. And that's why he says, you can only do this by putting on the full armor of God. So now that we know our enemy is in the flesh, we only know that it's a spiritual thing. I'm going to spend a little bit of time about what this armor is. And I hope it's a little bit more interesting to you guys, because it's really about how we survive. Okay? So the Bible says, stop relying on yourself, but rely on me. So the first thing the Bible talks about in verse 14 is the belt of truth. Belt of truth. And what does that mean? So a belt, I don't know, I wear a belt and literally it holds my pants up. It gives me support, right? So let's think of it as something as a support. What is the one thing that you guys can do, right, that helps you do anything that you do, right? I tend to think of relationships for me. For example, my dad, when he raised me up, he taught me how to be tough. So I cry a lot, but if you come at me physically, I won't be scared. I don't care how big you are, how tough you are. If you want to fight me, I won't fight, right? But I won't be afraid either. Okay? I won't be afraid. But that's only one little truth. So what else do I have? Well, because of Jesus in my heart, right? Because of Jesus in my heart, I learned, man, love is more important than anything else. And in fact, as long as I love other people, everything is going to be fine, right? That's another truth, right? So what we understand about truth is, truth are things that we can base our foundations in life. These are the things that gives us support, right? So what the belt of truth is about of discovery. This is something different. I hope you haven't heard it this way. Think of it this way. Who you are, what you think you are, what God has called you to be, and your relationship with Him are all things that support you, right? Think about it. Knowing that God loves you, right? And we're going to talk about this more in a little bit things, especially in Romans 8, you know, helmet of salvation. Romans 8, more than conquerors. If God is for us, who can stand against us? That's a foundational statement, is it not? If God loves me so much, what is there that I cannot do? I instill that kind of confidence into my children all the time. I say, Kyla, you may fail, but Daddy still loves you. Okay, Daddy, I'll do it again. A little bit different, right, than most Asians. I did. Why you fail? And that's how my dad raised me. I'm trying to change that cycle. Not shaming into things, but encouraging people into doing, right? So I say, Kyla, it's okay. You can fail, but it'll be okay. And she gets so hard and stuff, she plays the piano. I don't know, quit. Like, it's okay, Kyla. Don't worry about it. Right? Truth. What are you foundationing your life on? Because of my relationship with God, I can persevere through anything. I don't have to be afraid. We just sang that. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Why do we sing that? Because it's a foundational statement. It's something that supports us in our life. Right? It gives us strength. Next, the Bible talks about breastplate of righteousness. And what does a breastplate, we saw it, right? You take an armor and ching, you try to slash someone's chest. It can't do any damage. Any hit in this, any over here, you're dead. Okay? You don't want to get hit in any. You lose an arm, you can cauterize it, and you can still alive. You get cut in the chest, you're pretty much done. So there's a breastplate. And what does it protect the most? It protects your heart. So I challenge you this way, right? What are the things that helps you stay on track, right? Your morals and your virtues. Unfortunately, the enemy has this way of tricking us. He says, those aren't your morals. Those aren't your virtues. Right? And how do I know? What are our views on homosexuality? What are our views on cheating? What are our views on being the best at any cost? Right? What are our views on any of these things? Right? Morality. Where do our morals come from? Right? Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's one thing that we can hold on to. But our virtues. How we think, how we act, what we do. I challenged you guys like this a few sermons ago, right? And I said the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, right? Everything we do is supposed to be in relationship to God. So think of it this way. The Great Commission, right? Therefore, go baptize all nations, teaching them everything that I've taught them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So in other words, is what you're doing, right, doing kingdom work in here? If not, then maybe it's not something we want to do. And what is the Great Commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your? With all your? And with all your? And what is the second thing? To love your neighbor as yourself. So if what you're doing is not making you getting closer to God, or if what you're doing is not making you getting closer to your brothers and sisters next to you, maybe it's something not worthy. Virtues. God didn't make it hard. He made it really simple. He said, follow me. Literally, he said, put down your stuff, whatever you're thinking, whatever, follow me. Follow my virtues. Follow my morality. Don't fall into what the world says. And all this culminates in one thing, service. Right? Jesus did it this way. Most kingdoms are run in a pyramid like this, right? You see that? How does this mean? What am I talking about? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Everyone on the bottom serves the one man on top. Okay, you see that, right? Jesus flipped the script. He did this. The one man who's called king is the one on the very bottom, and he serves everyone on top. Morality, virtue, service, breastplate of righteousness. Then he talks about being fitted with the gospel of peace. So many times I ask, you kids, what do you want to do when you grow up? Oh, I want to be this, I want to be this. And I'm glad for those who are really driven and know what they want to go. But I have a special part in my heart where people say, you know, Pastor Hart, I really don't know. Like, oh, interesting. Have you prayed about it? No, not really. Oh, right? This is what it literally means to be fitted, right, with your feet. God gives you direction in your life. It's so easy to get caught up into this formula of getting good grades, you know, getting good college, having a good life, getting a good job and having a good life. And those are important things. But none of those things include God in that story. How about, I want to be a righteous person, God. And in order to be a righteous person, I need to do my best in everything because you demand excellence. So I'm going to be the best student. And God, whatever you have me do after that with that education, I know I'm going to bless other people. Whether doctor, lawyer, engineer, garbage man, whatever the case is. God, I want to be used by you. These are real practical things. God, help me. Show me which way to go. You know, the most fun time and the most craziest time and the most exciting time in high school career is when you apply for colleges. Because it's a lot of stress. All these applications. But you know what happens when you start to get those applications in? More stress. I didn't get in. I got in. Right? But in all that time, we only find the joy in the school we go to, not in God. I got into Dartmouth. How can I use my education in Dartmouth? God, I got into Stanford. How can I use that? God, I got into Berkeley. Praise the Lord. How can I use that for your glory? God will guide your feet. Fourth, shield of faith. Man, okay, I want to share with you right here. Like I said, we're going to spend a little bit more time on this. So, how many of you guys know, ever heard of Voice of the Martyrs? Yes. I have these magazines. I'm part of this fraternity, or brotherhood, not fraternity. And I will always have these magazines out here for you guys to read. If you guys know who these guys are incredible people. You know what a martyr is? You guys, fancy word. It means someone who dies for a cause, right? And these are Christian martyrs. Okay, every year they do their induction to the Voice of the Martyrs. This one is happening actually next week, Sunday. Okay, and the induction is with the person that we saw at Ensenada, Mexico, and it was with this family that was serving in Afghanistan. God says, serve over here. I want you to go and serve at this place because these people are in darkness. They're lost. You need to go and serve that people. Family goes, and you hear the mother, and I'll share it next week because this actually has to go deal with freedom in Christ, right? So here they are. They hear God's call. God says, go over there, and they serve. They know it's dangerous. They're in the heart of Afghanistan, right? All Muslims hate Christians, especially in that part of the world. Muslims outside, open, inclusive, yes, more inclusive. But the ones in the Middle East, some of them are real jihadists, you know? Kill everyone that's not Allah. Literally, that's their motto. And they went there because God says, go over there. So not only did they go over there, they know it was dangerous, they know it was going to be crazy, right? But they said, I don't care. So what did they do? They built a house and they were having Bible study on Sunday. They just finished worship. Mom is away doing something else. Family is still in the house. What happens? They lock the doors. They come inside, and they have full automatic weapons, AK-47s. Pop, 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 pop. They all die, except for mom. And what do they do after that? They set the house on fire. There were innocent Afghanis in there too that all died because they knew and they wanted to know in Jesus Christ. How do these people, after all of this, my friend Jun, who died early, how do we carry on? How do they do what they do? Same way we do what we do with our faith. It's not hard. Your faith is going to carry you through the most difficult situations in your life. I'm telling you, you guys, life is easy. Wait till you get married. Huh? You think all of a sudden husband and wife relationships are perfect? It's hard. It rocks you to the core where you say, God, is my faith in you real? Because this is supposed to be my gift. I'm not saying that about my wife. My wife said that about me. And you know how guilty that makes me feel? I'm not your gift. That's one thing. Go into the job market. See how cutthroat it is sometimes. You know the number one thing that Googlers hated, right? Especially if you're one of the big execs, is all the backstabbing that happens. Why? Because everyone wants to step ahead of each other. I want to be number one. I want to do this. I want to do that. Right? And then you'll get rocked because someone is going to say a lie about you. Right? False witnesses. Let's make it even more personal. How many of you guys ever lost someone due to illness? I did. By cancer, by heart attack, and stroke. And my close friend through Lou Gehrig's disease. How does that help you? How do you carry on when the things, and especially really godly men doing really godly things? Really, God? They're having Bible study. You would let people come in and shoot them and set them on fire? My brother, who has loved nothing but youth group his whole life, dedicated his whole life to youth group, gets taken away at 28, 29 years old. How does that make sense? How does any of the bad things that happen in life make sense? Well, the Lord is God. The Lord is the one who does all these things, and He is the one. How do we survive? Through our faith. You can be rest assured no matter where you are in life that God loves you. You know, the one thing, I don't know about you guys, I have this, I love my son, but my daughter, we are connected to the heart. Okay? She could have the worst, mommy, no, you know, and she's full meltdown. And I just do this, I cover her face like this, and I put my forehead on hers, and I say, Daddy loves you. I said, Daddy loves you, Daddy loves you, Daddy loves you. This crazy girl, who's going wild, comes down. Because she's rest assured of my love in her. Your faith in God will carry you through the most difficult moments in your life. Okay? Fifth thing, helmet of salvation. So this is the thing, right? How do we put atonement? How do we do God's plan? How do we apply this act in our life, right? God loves me. God saved me. Now what do I do? Now this is what Paul was writing in chapter 4 through 6. This is how you apply it to your life. You're no longer the same person. When God calls you into His ministry, when God calls you into His faith, into kingdom, into His kingdom, you change. It automatically happens. You don't have to think about it, and you do have to work at it, not in the sense, oh, I want to be this, but work on your relationship with God, and everything else will come into line. Because the closer you get to God, the less you be like yourselves. And this word that's thrown around in Christian circles all the time, Christ-like, has new application and new meaning. Because it's not something far off, oh, this is what you need to attain. No, I'm living it out every day in my life. How do I have peace? Because, you know, it's hard praying for like 90 some odd kids every day. How do I have peace over all of you guys? knowing that Jesus is with you guys. You know, being a pastor is a lot being like a father. It is. I pray for each and every one of you guys. Even those things that are written there, and I'm sorry, I'll try not to use as hard words, and I'll try to be more, speak more slowly, and I'll try to make it more understanding for our younger guys. But that's how we do it. How do we live it out? By knowing that Jesus loves me and I can do all these things through him. Romans 8, as I said, if God is for us, who can stand against us? How many of you guys walk with confidence? I can tell some of you guys do. I can tell you some of you guys don't. I'll be honest. And the guys that are confident aren't always the guys that walk big and proud like this. The guys that are confident in who they are. Know who they are, right? And that a lot has to do with their understanding of who Christ is. Okay? Work from that point in your life. Work out what that salvation means in your life. It's different for every person. Some of us, he calls us to do different ministries. Some of us, he calls us to be right with him. And if God is calling you to be right with him, get on your knees and pray, God, forgive me of my sins. Because he's calling you. You need to work out that salvation in your hearts. Your pastors, your co-workers can't do it for you. We can give you tools. We can give you these ability to read scripture and all these other things. But you have to make it real for yourself. You got to be responsible. That helmet of salvation is the one thing. And what does a helmet protect? We talk about protecting the heart, right? Next thing is to protect the head. It's so easy to lose sight of who you are in Christ Jesus. It's so easy to believe the lies. Man, my goodness. 70%, 80% of us said, man, I'm not good enough for my salvation. Yeah, I believe Jesus Christ saved me, but you know what? I'm not the one. Who are we to tell God, no, your gift is not good enough for me? When God died for us, it was real. He said, I love you and I find you so precious. You're my beloved. The whole Simba thing of, that's it. That's the pride. That's the joy he sees in each and every one of us. We cannot feel that way. Then we mock what the salvation was. It's not in anything we do, anything we say. It's everything that Jesus has done on the cross. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no man may boast. That's what God did. That's what the helmet of salvation is. It protects our minds. It protects us from what the world says we are and what the Bible says is true of us. And the last weapon. Actually, this is the only weapon, actually. Okay? Everything else was all defensive thing. Breastplate, your feet, guidance, right? Helmet, protect your head. The only active physical weapon, right? Is what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Why do Christians always say, be grounded in the Word of God? Be grounded in the Word of God. Be grounded in the Word of God. Because it is only in the Word of God, you know, and you can have this power of God. For example, Romans 8, if God is for me, who can stand against me? Do you guys believe that? Do you guys really believe nothing can stand against you if you're in Christ Jesus? Because if you don't, you guys are missing out what the Bible is teaching us. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, you know how he stopped the devil? It wasn't because he was smart. It wasn't because he was good looking. It wasn't because, it had to do with his deity, absolutely. Right? He was God. But how did he defeat him? By using scripture. On those times, right? We talked about breastplate of righteousness and all these things. Our virtues, our morality. How do we know who we are, what God calls us to be? It's only through his word. He calls us to take peace in his word. And it is only in that armor I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, if you don't put these armor on, don't be like David. Don't be like Samson. You guys got to remember that. These are the most important things that God calls us to do. He says this is our protection. And finally, it is through prayer. And I'll close with this. You know, there are certain things, when I first came, I preached on spiritual disciplines. Why was it so important for me to start praying for you guys on a daily basis? Why was it so important for me to start Wednesday night prayer meeting, even though you guys never did it, and it was kind of like growing pains? Like, seriously, it was growing pains. It was only Auntie Alice and myself, and it was for you guys. It was like for the first 3 weeks, but we prayed for you guys, that you guys would start showing up, that you guys would start praying for the church. And you know what happened? You guys started coming. Why is prayer important? Like, I don't mind that we pray, you know, when we get together, most of the prayer, I'll be honest, is for, my school. Now, I don't want to trivialize that, because I think that's really important. The Bible says, pray without cease. Go to God in all supplications. God, help me, help me, help. There's nothing wrong with that. But you guys got to understand, prayer is our most powerful weapon. Not only the word of God, but how do we apply it? Through prayer. Whenever you're hurt, whenever you're sad, whenever you can't do anything, whenever you're lost, go to God and pray. Always pray. Why is it so important? So that you guys grow up. Why do we develop all of these things? So that you guys grow up with a prayerful life. Now, some of you guys already have that with your parents, and God bless you guys. Right? If you pray with mom and dad, that's awesome. If you guys all go down on your knees and pray with your moms and dad, awesome. But some of you guys who don't have that, highly recommend you come out here and you pray with us. There's something to be said when you humble yourself, you get down on your knees and say, God, I cannot do it by myself. In fact, God, there's nothing I can do. And literally, I'm going to come to you for all my needs. Now, as a father, and I'm not trying to say I know the mind of God or anything like this, but as a father, when my son or daughter says, Daddy, Daddy, I need your help. Can you help me? It makes me feel good. It gives me security that I'm providing for them, one, but they're understanding where they can get their help from. Do you guys know where you guys can help get your help from? Do you guys know that God is there listening to you at your every word? He's saying, come to me. Come to me. Pray. Pray for all the saints, as Paul says. Pray, Paul says, to pray for him so that he can preach with boldness. And I ask you guys that as well. I pray that you guys are praying for me. Does that make sense? Right? I pray that you guys... Now, when we have these prayer requests and all these things, I love that because I get to pray for you personally and by name. Right? But you guys got to understand something. There's one thing that commands all these things. Okay? Why we pray. And why, even in demonic possession. Okay? I didn't want to talk about that too much because I kind of alluded on powers and principalities. But even in demonic possession, it's not in the water or holy water. You know how they exercise demons? Ekbalo is how the Greek says. You know how they exercise the demons? By using one thing, the name of Jesus Christ. They says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast thee out, demon. In the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, that name has authority. That name has power. Whenever you are in a bad situation. Okay? Now, I've heard stories of people almost getting raped. Okay? And I pray this never happens to you. But as the attacker was attacking them, the woman said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get away from me, Satan. In the name of Jesus Christ. She said it like 10 times and the guy ran away. Right? It's real. Now, I would suggest, defend yourself fiercely. Don't be a victim. Right? But there is authority in the name of Jesus Christ. That's just one aspect. Apply that to all your aspects in life. In the name of Jesus Christ, let me be the best student. In the name of Jesus Christ, let me be the best brother. In the name of Jesus Christ, let me be the best sister. In the name of Jesus Christ, heal my friend. In the name of Jesus Christ. There's no name higher than that name. There's no order higher than that order. And it is only through Jesus Christ that the gospel is given to you. So use it. So in order for you to be strong, in order for you to fight the good fight, in order to have faith and righteousness and salvation, you must use this gospel, not only in the beginning, not only in the middle, but also in the end. You come and you bookend both of those with prayer. That's what worship is, right? We pray before we start, we pray in the middle, we pray at the end. So I ask you, will you pray? Will you be faithful? Will you be able to withstand the world? Will you be able to know that your grace, that the grace that was given to you is sufficient in all aspects of your lives? You literally don't have to add anything to it. When God says it is finished, it is complete, it was a once for all thing. There's not more things you need to do. But understand what God has given you and work on that part. The rest will come into place, I promise you. Not because of me, but because of what the Bible teaches us. Auntie, is one of my favorite verses too. Auntie Angela shared her, during the lock-in, we had a thing. And one of our favorite verses, we did this, anyway. So she shared her favorite verse, and it was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And if you guys don't know it, this is the truth of the matter, right? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's hard right there. Lean on not your understanding, because we have so much wisdom. We have so much talents. We're strong like David, right? We're smart like Solomon. We may not be rich as Solomon, but we have stuff. We can be physically strong like Samson. But they all fell short. They all failed. Lean not on your own understanding is what the Bible says. But in all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall set your path straight. What does that mean? Put God into everything you do. Right? That's what the scripture teaches. Put God in everything you do and literally you're going to walk in a straight path. The Bible doesn't make it hard. In fact, the Bible says in the most basic, simple way, think of God. That's what it's saying. Think of God. You think of God, good things will happen. Pray with me. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, as we go through this difficult section, Lord, about powers and principalities and a fight with not the flesh, but with the spiritual realm, Lord. Father, I pray that you would help make us understand, Lord, that this divine thing that we have in us, Father, this image that we have of you, Father, longs to be in constant relationship with you. And Father, the only way to persevere through this world is to hold on to that. So Father, as the Bible says, let us put on our full armor of God. For we need to recognize that every Christian is at war. Father, help us to abide in you, Father, and to understand these things that you give us through your scripture, and the grace that you give us through Jesus Christ. Father, protect our hearts and minds. Protect our bodies. Protect our feet. Protect the way we shall go. And Father, help us to have your word on our lips, Lord. Help us to have the faith that perseveres through time, through hardships, to give us the perseverance you call us to be able to fight the good fight, as Paul says. Because the charge you give us is not just a charge for our day to day, but Father, for eternity until we be with you in heaven. So Lord, help us. Keep us. And help us to do the things you call us to do. Father, we understand, Lord, that it is in only one way that we must submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. Father, forgive us if we think of ourselves greater than you. Forgive us if we want to add anything to your grace and your mercy on the cross. Father, for it's not in our talents, it's not in our wisdom, it's not in our skills, it's not even in our finances. But Father, it's in a heart that is submitted to you. As Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another as if submitting unto Christ. As the church submits unto you through your blood in Jesus Christ, Lord, help us to submit as well. Let us be the body of Christ you call us to be. Help us to withstand the devil and all the things that he does and all the lies he gives us and all the traps that he puts out time and time again. God, protect us. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you, Father, that your blood covers us and that we are guaranteed salvation, Lord. We love you. We bless you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.